They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open. Now what Harley just said. I was talking about.
I feel like it is more than reasonable what I just said.
Reasonable? True. Especially at this time, this school holiday time.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. Welcome to... Oh, you do the intro. I don't do the intro. We'll throw people off if I start doing it.
They won't know what they're listening to. Is it, is it shitting with the door open or horny with for friendship?
I love that phrase. I can't get enough of it. And I love saying now, if I'm like, if I want something like to eat, say if I wanted like a burger, I was like, oh, I'm fucking horny for burgers right now. Like, you know, like if I want to watch... like a specific movie. Oh, I'm pretty fucking horny for Star Wars. Just
which ironically is how Star Wars was written in the first place. Just George Lucas just masturbating to all of his fucking nerd dreams.
Yeah, he's just horny for it. He's just horny for writing. Horny for fucking nerds with lightsabers. Too funny.
Well, welcome to you Shitting with the Door Open. I'm Harley Breen. That's my mate, Wade Duffin. And we made each other laugh before we started recording, which I think actually this time you will find out what we said.
Yes. So I was talking about like how we just had like the night off. The girls just went for a sleepover at somebody's place. And they got back like this morning, and then they kind of were out like for a lot of the day as well today. And just how nice it was. We didn't do, Claire and I didn't do anything. The girls kind of got dropped off, and then I just watched episode after episode after episode of the show Black Sails, which is about sexy pirates. It's a soap opera. It's an R18 soap opera about sexy pirates.
Horny
That's
for
the
pirates.
Best way I can describe it. Yeah, just I'm horny for pirates. That's new name of the podcast. Horny for pirates.
Oh, fuck, can we please change the name of this podcast to Horny for Pirates? But then never, ever talk about pirates. Like, it's no mention of pirates.
It's just hot dudes and hot women walking around, being hot, and just murdering one another. It's great. Right. It's so silly. But, fuck, anyway, I just binge-watched that. Well, Claire did some work beside me, and they were like, fuck, it's 7 o'clock. Let's go get something to eat. We just wandered down to like this local place around the corner that we've been meaning to try for ages. And we were the only ones in there. It was like this great Nepalese place. Just got these Nepalese dumplings, got like some popcorn chicken, just got like this barramundi that was amazing. The lady's like, oh, I've just invented like this cocktail. Do you want to try the cocktail? I'm like, yeah, yes, I do. So we're just getting into that. It was just an amazing evening. And then
by the way,
that,
sorry to cut you off, but you're making me so envious of where you live. You just nonchalantly said, yeah, we just wandered into a Nepalese place. Like, that's a fucking normal thing. Like, anyone can just wander into a Nepalese restaurant. I'm living in the most white bread fucking suburb I've ever lived in my life, and I can't even get good cornichons at the fucking IGA because it's so white here, wogs never turned up. There is nothing. And here's my mate just fucking wandering around the corner to a Nepalese, like...
eating those Nepalese dumplings. Chef's kiss. They're amazing.
They were. Bet you they were.
Yeah. And then there was like some Japanese across the road, some kebabs just down over there. We're around there. I was like, nah, we're going to get this Nepalese. Came back. We
Sorry, do you know what I've got in my suburb? I've got two fish and chip shops and a Domino's. That's it.
The classics. The classics.
What do you mean?
Do you remember like being a kid? I remember being a kid and it'd be like fish and chip night and you'd like like go down and get the fish and chips. So you'd hop on your bike, you'd race on down there and you'd play like the video games for like 20, you get an extra 20 cents to play like the video games, whatever it was. It was so exciting to have that kind of like one responsibility of going down to the, to get the food. And two, just being around all like the thing and the shop owner's really nice. You get to play the video games. I loved it.
I never did that. Never. Not part of my memory. We would have fish and chips maybe about once a year. Usually it was on our school family holidays. We do one family holiday a year, which actually, in reflection, is a fairly privileged thing to be able to even go on a family holiday. Ours was always to mum's auntie's little fibro shack in Coolum, and we would get our yearly ice cream in a cone. We would get our yearly fish and chips.
That's exciting as hell, though.
Fuck, it was pretty good.
Yeah, like that's fucking wild. I remember those family holidays. You go to visit the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, and everybody's got their own little kind of place to go. It was beautiful. Anyway, back to my night.
Sorry.
Then we. That's all right. I love that you apologize. As if. The whole point of this podcast is not just to fucking ramble and ramble. It really is just...
I've genuinely got a lot to tell you.
Oh, great. You just... Anyway, we came home, watched the movie, and then went to bed, woke up in the morning, no kids, so there's no rushing out of bed. It was just like laying there and relaxed. It was the best.
Yeah.
Best, best, best.
Fucking heaven. Yeah. And then they came back, and that's the problem.
And so I was saying how great it was just to have a night off from the kids. And you were saying, actually, I just want to be dead for one night.
For context, I'm not suicidal in the context of that statement. Ask me about other things. But in the context of that statement, it was like, in terms of a night off, I want like truly a night off. From it all, from the children, from the housework, and from the thinking. I want the thinking to stop. I want all of the noise just to fuck off for 24 hours. You know, just and not with alcohol, because I've been doing that, and I don't have the time. I don't have the time for the recovery the next day. I'm drinking very little at the moment, hardly at all, really. Yeah, so a night off from the world and my existence would be very welcomed.
I am not drinking much either, except on Wednesday nights I went out to an album launch, Georgia Mooney's album, Piece of Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Like this beautiful, almost like this Kate Bush style. Anyway, this is very, very good. Went with the great Stephen Gates.
Oh, great, mate. Awesome.
Big fan of the podcast. Miss him. A lovely man. And I drank way too much wine.
Good,
like way too much. Yeah. Like, and but it really caught up on me on the walk home. I was like, I'm pretty drunk actually. Like as I was like leaving gates, I was like, I'm gonna go, see you later. I got home and I was like, oh no, I'm fuck eyed. I'm fucking wrecked.
I feel like the problem with wine in general is how much heavier it is in alcohol than beer and how much easier it is to drink. And this seems to be a lesson that you just refuse to learn. Like
you will
drink wine at the volume that I drink beer and wonder why I'm fine and you are fucking sideways. You've bought away 3 bottles of wine.
I don't learn, Harley. I keep telling you, right?
Ironically, I can't learn that.
Anyway, that was another great night. But, yeah, that was a bit of a recovery yesterday. So, but it's just good.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you were saying you've got a lot to say. What do you got to say for yourself?
Just all the time. What's every happening? Time you're talking about things, I've got things to say. I mean, currently, Hannah might be in labor. I've locked myself away. I am recording this podcast sitting in the back of my 45-year-old Land Cruiser, and it is not built for a man of my size.
I can see, like, because we're looking at each other, and you look so fucking uncomfortable.
Like, you have to move in the shot.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hannah can't just wait for like half an hour? Put it on for half an hour, Hannah.
Our labors go on forever. Sure,
yeah, that's right.
Well, so officially, due date from the point of us recording this right now, due date is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So she has gone full term. Which is great. It's the due date is kind of a made up thing anyway. It's a big guesstimate.
Yeah, like there should be. It's like a due area, isn't it?
This is the thing. People keep talking about 9 months of pregnancy. 9 months of pregnancy. It's not 9 months. It's 10. It's 10 months. It's like 40 weeks, right? 4 weeks in a lunar month. So 40 weeks is full term, is what they call it. I think anything after 36, maybe, is they consider. So that's where your 9 months is. And then anything up to 42 weeks, which is 10 and a half months. You know, it's a lot longer than what is said. So now we're in the stage of, and I've been here before, as you know, Wade.
Many times.
And the lead up to due date, that's all you can think about. And then once you get there, it's like you're in this weird subspace of time. Time sort of doesn't exist in the way that you know it. Everything's kind of taking forever to get to the due date. And then you're just sitting in this kind of, and I'm not saying this word as a negative, but like a purgatory, it's just this waiting station.
That's exactly what I thought of when you were talking about that. I was like, yeah, you're in purgatory. You're just like in the waiting room.
Yeah.
You're just waiting to get called. Like you're just looking like, oh, fuck, are they going to call my number?
Yeah.
Are they going to call my number?
Yeah.
Are they going to call my number? And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, fuck, it's me. It's me.
Yeah. And like we are so prepared. Like everything is in place. I've been trying to create spaces for the children to be outside. So I've got my tent set up. I've built them a cubby house today, the basic frame of a cubby. Well, it's a tree house. I built a tree house in the mango tree because it's a rental and I'll do what the fuck I want. I built a huge bath, like a very oversized bath for little kids, they feel like it's a pool. I've got the hose for the birthing pool. I can see it here. I've screwed it to the side of the house so it's ready to go to plug in. And fill the pool up. Pool is been blown up in the lounge room. We've got boxes of all the stuff. The fridge has got all the phone numbers on it. Like we're ready to go. We're just waiting on the baby.
Fucking lazy, lazy baby.
Lazy shit.
And Hannah too. She's a bit lazy as well. Just get it out, Hannah. All right, you've had 40 weeks. Let's move things along.
Yeah, imagine the KPIs on this. Yeah, so it's sort of it's not hard. Like it's not a negative. It's just a really hard time of anyone's life when they're waiting for the baby to make any real kind of plans to, you know, like I'm not going to, I've blocked out all of this time for no gigs, so I can't take off to do that. You're not making plans to meet up with people. You know, now I'm close to family and there's family around over the weekend. I'm like, sorry, I won't come to that because, you know, who knows? So it's this, and I kind of look at it as a positive. Rarely are you in this kind of state of being of the way the time is affecting you, but it's, that's just where I'm at. So I don't, like, I'm just sort of here.
But like endless anticipation as well can be like a real, like it's draining.
Yes.
Like because it's even if you're just waiting around and you're like, oh, I feel pretty relaxed about it, I still feel like there was something just like bubbling away in the background when you're in this time where it could be like any second, any day, any minute.
Yeah.
You're still just kind of like a little bit on, I don't know if on edge is the right term, but definitely like there's a bit of energy.
Yes.
There's like a real kind of like energy there, and energy like takes energy, I guess. I don't know. Like, you know, it takes up like mental space and it drains you.
Totally.
It can be tiring.
And I think everybody.
And it's just for you.
Why'd somebody think of the fathers?
Finally, somebody is brave enough. Somebody's had the courage to say pregnant women have been getting away with it for too long. What's milk in the day?
I'm so anxious, about themselves. I can't sleep.
I'm sick of them. I tell you what. It's our time, Harley. All right? I'm sure that's going to go down well with our listenership.
I think I love it. But this is the thing, like, we've got, so in the house, the household at the moment, Leonard, the big guy, after his bum bag fiasco, he's having...
What a story.
What a story.
So good.
Thanks for the feedback on that one, guys. We always like the feedback, by the way. You want to write us anything, say what you want. You want to send us stuff, we got some hot sauce.
I have tried those hot sauces. They are 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
They are sensational. The chickadee, like the apple and horseradish one, is just, like, they're all great. They're all great hot sauces.
Yeah.
But that apple and horseradish is just, I knew it. As soon as I saw it, I thought, fuck, that's going to be my favorite. Yeah. Tasted it. Delicious.
That's confirmation bias is what that is, Wade. You talked yourself into it before you even tasted it.
How do you think I... Oh, no, I'll leave that. As I was saying, and I'm like, nah.
What a rare moment from the man who edits this podcast. He just stopped to me. To me, he stopped saying something. I can't imagine what sick, deprived, fucked up thing was about to come out of his mouth. Anyway, sorry, what was I saying? Yeah, so Leonard's been shipped off. We will get back to those hot sauces because I'm keen to talk to you about them. He is having the holiday of his dreams. He's got a mate from down in Melbourne that's touring around with the band at the moment, so he's gone to meet up with her. He's got his cousins for the first time in his life. He's living within vicinity of his cousins, so he's hanging out with them. He's been out to the farm with his grandparents, my parents. So he's sorted, right? And that was a calculated decision by us to free up the space in the house for the birth. So then it's my mother-in-law and the two small children, Hannah and I, and then the midwives will descend upon us once we're in labor. But it's like everybody, the kids included, there is a nervous energy, and again, not necessarily a negative nervous, but there's a nervous energy, and the kids are getting up earlier and earlier. Hannah is going to bed later and later. She just can't sleep. I'm sure there's something that I've heard before about pregnancy insomnia. But the kids are like, I'm trying to go to bed early, man. I'm fucking wiped anyway, so I'll be in bed by about, I don't know, 8:30. Honestly, I'm 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm in bed. The kids are waking up at like 5 a.m. And I think it's because they are tapped into the energy that's happening.
Into the vibe,
house,
yeah.
Into the vibe of it all. And they're like, is it happening yet? Has it happened? Like, they are asking now, is the baby here? They'll go to the park for half an hour and come back. Did the baby come? You're in for a surprise, kids. It's not going to come like that.
Do you see any blood and poo around? Then no. But the baby is still on
Put
the way.
It this way. I'm still using the sieve for the pasta. So... Fun fact, we've got three sieves. We've got three sieves in the house. Every fucking one of them looks the same, though, so I can't figure out which one we're meant to be using. But, yep, three sieves now. I'm loaded.
Oh, too funny. Funny.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be hard for Hannah to sleep because of her giant tummy. Like, that's got to be.
People keep commenting on how big
it is. Like, does she sleep on... her back normally, or is she a side sleeper? Or?
It's personal. I think Hannah would prefer to sleep on her back, maybe. Sleeps on her side. No, sorry. She likes to sleep on her belly. Yeah, and that is hugely problematic, obviously. Can't do it.
So hard, because I hate sleeping on my back. I hate it. So if we've ever got like a situation where I have to sleep on my back, you know, like you've hurt your shoulder or like a chest pains, whatever it is.
You got raging heart on.
Oh, no. Straight to the belly. Straight away. I know exactly what to do with that. This is just so stupid.
Sorry, everybody.
I'm so sorry. We're talking about hard-ons. And not even in a clever way. Not like usual. Usual, it's very clever. It's very
It's not the normal kind of poetry that we bring to you.
No, it's just straight up hard-ons on the mattress.
I mean, what are we going to call this episode?
Hard-ons on the mattress, probably. We're going to call it Horny for Pirates. Every episode now is just going to be horny for something. We're just horny.
It's really fucking hot in this truck. I'm not doing well.
Oh, it looks hot. It looks ridiculous.
What were we talking about? Man. Yeah, sleeping on your belly. You don't like sleeping on your back. Do you sleep on your belly?
I sleep on my side.
Yeah.
Side sleeper. All day, every day.
I'm a side or a back. But Hannah is not happy when I'm on my back because I snore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I probably snore a bit too when I'm on my back, but on my side, I don't. Oh, maybe I do. I don't know. I'm asleep. I don't care. That's not my problem.
That's how I feel about it too. Hannah will, like, tickle my face to wake me up when I'm snoring. And normally I just will roll over and just go to sleep. The other morning, because I'm on edge and she's so fucking pregnant, I got this tickle on the face and I just sat bolt upright in bed. What's happening? What's happening? I don't remember doing it. And then I went back to sleep on my back and just immediately started snoring again. I must be good to be pregnant beside me.
Oh, man. I sent you a clip the other day. This is what I want to talk about on the podcast today.
Yes.
Now that we've got all the hard-on chat out of the way, all the stiffies, we've got all that nonsense.
The fun fact is there's always more. There's always more.
It'll never end. And I saw this clip of Rain. I think his name is Rain Wilson. It's the dude who played Dwight in The Office.
Yes, I watched it.
And he was talking, I found it so interesting, and he was talking about how when he was on The Office, he was on like one of the top shows of, not of just his time, of all time, like one of the most popular shows.
Earning millions.
He had this job that he could only dream of, like when he was a teenager. Mm. You know what I mean? And as he's in the middle of it, he's in the middle of this dream job on this dream show surrounded by like the best people, the best writers, the best actors, the best cast, the best, you know, like everything. He still wasn't happy. He was still was like, well, why aren't I getting this movie? Like, where's the offer for this? Like, why aren't they offering me more for this role? Why didn't I get that role kind of thing? And it was just talking about like how, at what point, you know, do you find happiness, I think, is the gist of what he was saying. And then I remember hearing this thing about like Olympic athletes, you know, they win gold and they've trained their entire life for this one moment. They win gold and it's still not enough. It still doesn't bring like that sense of happiness.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to fucking like get into like, what is happiness, I guess?
Yeah.
You know, like how do we find it? And if we're not finding it via, and this isn't for everybody. I'm sure for some people, goal-based happiness is a thing. But I don't think it is for me.
No, it's not for me.
I know, because there's always a moving target. There's always another goal line to try and get to.
Yeah.
So how do we define happiness and how do we get there? Because I would say at the moment, I'm in a pretty good spot mentally.
Great.
And I think it's part of it is like we're in like a good area. There's like a community around and there's just like this good feel of like other parents. I've got mates around. There's just shit around to kind of go do. And so we've kind of built up this little village around us. And the village is really kind of like helping. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it because it's not even like they're taking the load off with the kids. It's just having this kind of sense of well-being, I guess. But I can't even define how I'm getting to that well-being.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, define happiness. I don't know how to do that because I can tell you what makes me happy or what I perceive as is happiness. In terms of how to get there, you know, I think it's stuff that I've said before. I think what we're doing in our current model of society that's been going on for my entire life is a deliberate disconnect with who we are and how we connect with other humans and the natural environment around us. And so I think it doesn't matter what goals you set yourself and what things you achieve. For me, those things that I tried to tick off in my career and those goals I tried to make happen and the successes that I've had all are for nothing because, you know, there's a saying in comedy, you're only as good as your next gig, meaning don't talk about the last one.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last gig is the saying. And I say, well, you're only as good as your next one because the last one is done. You moved on.
Yeah.
And so watching that video that you sent me of Ryan and him talking about that, it really spoke to me because it's the same thing I'm trying to achieve. My problem is that the more I try and achieve this idea of connecting with my children and connecting with my natural environment and doing things that I'm actually interested in, there's not a lot of fucking money in it, right? So when I'm not earning well and when the bills keep rolling in and the pressure to provide for this family, they're undeniable. I have to work. I've got to go. Yeah. I've got to go and get jobs, which, you know, I will be working pretty hard straight after this birth for the rest of the year. And on it goes. So there's got to be some way of finding a balance in getting the financial interests of everything in line so that everybody has what they need, but also being present and connected with those that are important to you and with your natural environment. And I don't know how to manage that juggling, that seesaw.
Yes. Like, and I think with this, like, fucking saying, like, money doesn't buy happiness. And I'm like, well, what money does is it alleviates stress.
Solves problems.
It solves problems. And once you've solved those problems and you've alleviated that stress, you have more space, mental space, and just like time as well to find that happiness. So it's like, well, now I've got like the space to find it. So it's not like, no, money may not directly buy happiness, but it certainly is a great first step. You know what I mean?
It can make things a lot fucking easier.
Makes things a lot easier. And when you're not dealing with like the financial stress side of it, then you do have like that time and that space to look at the other side of it. So it's a thing. But anyway, I just want, I think it's just community and being like at peace with yourself, I think is like a big help. Yeah. I think I'm going to start meditating. That's really good for you.
I'd love to know how that goes for you. I mean, there's all forms of different forms of meditation. And I have pretty quickly, fair while ago, very quickly identified what it was that is good for me in terms of meditative activities. One of those is going for long walks through bushland on my own with my dog. If there's no other people around, just the absolute best. And another one is building anything, like the cubby house today. I had a really shit moment with something I was trying to do. It's almost too boring to even say, but basically I was trying to fix a thing and I fucked it more. And it was infuriating. And so then I pushed it all literally underneath the house. And just started a brand new project. I just went, I'm going to build this tree house in the mango tree for the kids. And it was actually a bit of self-care because when I am building something, I'm sort of, as my brothers call it, it's fluid architecture. I'm putting one piece up and then I'm trying to figure out how the next piece comes off it and that and that. And so I'm really in that headspace and I am just in that headspace. There's no space for anything else. I can't be on my phone. None of that sort of stuff is that distraction can get in. And then because I'm just thinking in this really lineal way of, right, how do I solve this problem? It opens up these other thoughts that then come in, and they mostly, I would say almost 100% of the time, not anxiety thoughts, not, oh, you've got to pay this bill. It's like, oh, and then I could build this other thing.
Yes. You know, you get into a creative space.
Yes, totally.
I like love the smartphone for its practicality, but I hate it for its, for me, it's a creativity killer because it's just so easy to pick it up and just go, oh, just look up this or look up that, you know, like A, B, and C. It's like you, any bit of information that you want's on there. And so it's so easy to procrastinate with it. Yes. And what you were saying before about like that walk in nature, like it's such a cliche, but a fucking walk through the woods or a walk next to the water, just kind of like in the sun and or even in the rain, whatever it is, you're just by yourself and you're just kind of like immersed in that moment. It is so lovely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's finding that peace within yourself. For me, I love writing. So I love fucking, like I'll do that. The way that you're talking about like building is what I am like when I'm at the keyboard and I'm just like, oh, this is a fun idea. This is a fun idea. How am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to solve that problem? Like, oh, here's like a real fucking block in the story and I'll go for a walk and go like, got it, come back and get it solved kind of thing. But when I'm writing, I find it very hard to have silence. I've made this playlist of just songs that I kind of know really well and it almost takes away the buzz in the back of the brain, and so the front of the brain can just focus on what I'm doing.
That's really interesting because I would say every single show I've written, which is, I don't know, somewhere in the vicinity of 13, 14, 15 solo shows, something like that, I don't know, over the course of my career, that all of them have been written in a public space. I will go to a cafe, I will go to a pub, and I will go to a place until the staff know me so well they're striking up conversation, and then I have to move on because I just want to be in that space without conversation with any, but I want everyone else doing their thing. So there's a pub just around the corner from me here.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of pub that I would normally go and sit at. I go there in the middle of the day. There's hardly any people there. The same kind of locals. And I can kind of feel there because I've been there so many times now. There's now that the polite nod is turning into "G'day mate, how you going?" And fairly shortly, there's gonna start to be conversation, and I'll have to move on to another space. Because like you, I need that
background noise.
White noise of society happening, and then I can
write. White noise. That's exactly what it is. I just need like a bit of white noise in the background to go on. Yeah, happiness. It's such a fun, fucking weird one. Because there are times in my life quite often where I'm unhappy, like seriously unhappy. And so when you're in it, when you're in like this kind of like state of kind of like, oh, I'm actually in a pretty good place mentally. Like, well, how did I get here? How do I stay here?
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
I think there's, but maybe not everyone agrees with this, and maybe you won't agree with this either, but I think that happiness has been commodified and turned into a product, and we're continually told that you're meant to be happy all the time. Well, that's just ridiculous. Your body can't produce that amount of endorphins and serotonin and all
dopamine,
the things,
and all dopamine, the things,
or whatever the fuck the things are to release that make you happy. It's unnatural to be in that state. And if we were in the natural state and we were in the natural world and we were going about our day, I'm not for a second saying that that's going to be easier. If I could do what it is I want to do, which is be able to purchase some land so that I've got some security with that land and live off it in a sustainable way of providing food for my family, that's not easy work. That is work. I will have to work a lot, many hours, but I'm already doing that and I'm not achieving any kind of fulfillment. So I don't expect that if I do achieve that goal, which I'm trying to head towards, that I will be the happiest bloke around all the fucking time. I don't think that's natural. I don't think it's fucking normal. But we keep getting sold it in advertising and for products and anything that you can have, phones and more movies and more stuff, that we can be happy all the time. And maybe that's the reason when we're sad, it feels so bad because we're told you're not meant to feel that way.
I think you're absolutely correct. And when I think of like saying like you'll get to a state of happiness, I guess I don't actually mean happiness because that is, as you say, like those are, it's an emotion. It's a fleeting emotion.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like a sense of like well-being, of fulfillment.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Of like, so even if you are like you're on that block of land and you're working hard, you're like, fuck, these are some problems, but I've got this sense of like purpose yes, as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watching this Live to 100, like, did we talk about this the other day on the podcast? No. Like this Netflix show, like Blue Zones. This is Netflix show, Blue Zones, Live to 100, and it's this dude traveling around like these five spots in the world where they have more centenarians.
Oh, I've heard about this, yes.
And like what kind of like life they lead and blah, blah, blah. And part of it's diet, part of it's kind of like exercise, you know, like the constant movement. Like they went to like this place in Japan where they're constantly having to like get up and get down, get up, get down. And they're like gardening all the time, blah, blah, blah. But the main thing was a sense of community and a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
So it was like, what do I do when they retire? They have something to do. They have like a goal in mind and something that they can leave to the world, or that's just for them. And it's just like, well, this is what I do to keep my mind active, I guess. Their bodies are active and the mind's active. And also having a community around them of like people of different ages to kind of just give you, I don't know, like that also like that other sense of like well-being, not your personal sense, but of that sense of like being with friends and with family and like, oh, I'm just going to go do this and that kind of thing. So well, it was so interesting.
That sense of purpose is absolutely paramount, I think. And I like if I have friends, if I feel very flat and depressed, it is often when I haven't worked. So it might be I've gone a longer period of time without any work, and then I go off to work and I'm aware of it now. I'll be like, I'll be bubbly and I'll be bouncing around, and it's because I had that sense of purpose for that moment. And there's a book I know I've talked to you about. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it in here, but I'm going to recommend it to everyone. Read it again. It's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it's sort of like, it's almost a mini textbook explainer of a style of psychology called logotherapy. And he wrote it 9 days after getting out of Auschwitz. And he talks about this sense of meaning in everything and a sense of purpose in everything. There's not just a sense of meaning and purpose in good things. There is a sense of meaning and purpose in bad things. And if you don't have that sense of meaning and purpose, then you give up and you die. And he was talking about these moments where he'd see other people in Auschwitz, and something had happened and their spirit was broken and their purpose was taken. And he said, so many times that I saw it, they would reach into their pocket and pull out the cigarette that they were saving. They would smoke that cigarette, lie down on their bed, and within 2 days they were dead.
Oh, my God.
And because their purpose had gone, and he compared it, which I thought was an amazing bit of humility for this man to compare it, his experience in Auschwitz, to out-of-work miners. He said it's the same thing. And he was talking about a situation around that time in history where these miners had all lost their jobs and they'd lost their purpose, and then they'd all become horrifically depressed and just couldn't keep functioning and just couldn't keep going. And I was reading it coincidentally during COVID lockdowns. It couldn't have been a better time to read it. And that was happening to me. And I'm really conscious of that now, is to find the person, but find the right one. What is it? And obviously my children, your children give you purpose and all of that. But there's got to be more. My identity can't be built into my children. I've got to have my own sense of purpose.
Could not agree with you more, like this, because that is one thing. And that is one part of like that sense of well-being, like you're teaching them and you're doing your best. Not always. Yes. Let's be honest. Not always. Sometimes. Fall a little flat. But
really coming up short some days. Why don't you have another one, Harley? All right, then.
But you've got to have that. But you do need something just for you.
Yes.
And that can be something that's just for you that you can share with the world, or you can just keep it to yourself or whatever it is. But you need something for yourself that's a bit selfish. And I don't want to like live in a society where we're all kind of selfish and we're all just all about ourselves. And that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that you're doing that makes you happy, and it's got nothing to do with anybody else.
Self-care. Like it's self-care. It's fucking really bloody important.
Yeah, you're emotionally masturbating.
Yes. Have an emotional wank.
Just... emotional stiffies. I talked about it. And then have a real one. Double up.
It's good for the whole family.
I'm feeling really at peace now and a little sleepy.
Slightly hard when your mother-in-law is staying with you. But anyway. Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, like that was kind of like a messy start to that topic, but I knew we'd get into it because we always do. But that really kind of, we were just working it out as we're going along. But that really, that sense of like well-being, not really a sense of happiness, that sense of well-being, that sense of fulfillment, that sense of purpose, like what is it? How do you find it? And how do you maintain it as well? Like in this fucking hectic lives that we lead.
I'll say this, Wade, and I mean this so sincerely. I hope for you and I that we never, ever find it, but we never stop looking. That we continue to pursue that for the rest of our lives. We pursue that purpose and pursue that really childlike eagerness that you and I have.
We are very childlike. There's no doubt. After listening to this podcast, we have the mental capacity of like 11-year-olds.
If someone could just do my tags, I'd be fine.
And that sense of community as well. So fuck, I mean, I'd love to be up there with you. I'd love you to be back down here.
Yeah.
You know, because it's good to have like your best mate around. It's good to be able to just pop around. Hey, should we go out and just go for a walk in the bush? Should we fucking just get a beer and have a chat kind of thing? I miss it.
So do I, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said it to Hannah this morning. I mean, this little thing that happened, this little job I was trying to do was fix a fucking hose that's meant to retract back in is what it was, and I fucked it up. And everything then shit me. Everything shit me. It was one moment, but it was a catalyst for everything. And fortunately, my mother-in-law took the kids out for a walk to the park. And I just said to Hannah, like, I'm just shitty about this, and I should have been able to do it, and I fucked it, and I'm shitty about where my life is, and I'm shitty that I might be stuck here forever, and I'm not with my friends. And fucking anyway, then I went out and built a treehouse, and I'm talking to you, and I'm feeling great. Everything's great.
Man, it's just like we're just leading these lives and we're just doing what we do, man. We're just doing our best. We're doing our best.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's not good enough.
Sometimes it isn't.
Sometimes you need someone to help you out, right? You actually, to turn that silly little quip into the truth, is that sometimes my best just doesn't cut it. And I need someone else to help me because my best is not going to get whatever it is I'm trying to do done. So I need Hannah, or I need my mum, or I need my mother-in-law, or I need you. Which is great to have all of that. The hard thing is the distance I've created with my friendship circle. It's not been easy. And it's only going to get harder. Yeah.
Yeah, lucky to have your family there, but yeah, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know? All right, man, another good chat.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. Horny for Pirates. I'm going to call a solo show Horny for Pirates.
Harley's right, though. Please leave any feedback you like. We love it.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, we love it. Yeah.
Yeah,
genuinely great. And a big shout out to our mates that sent us the hot sauce. We've briefly spoken about it. We didn't even get into cooking today. Fuck me, do I have a pork belly recipe for you. I have cooked so many pork bellies and I nailed this one.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
great. I can't wait.
And maybe a Patreon episode coming up. We will talk about the hot sauce and some recipes to go with that hot sauce.
Oh, yeah. Great idea. Great call.
Excellent.
All right, brother.
Love you, mate.
Next time. Bye.